with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk. On this Tuesday, the 1st of November, you're with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews. Nice to be back.
That didn't sound very good.
It sounds like you've cheesed my feet or something.
So speak again.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
I can't hear you.
In the old days.
I can't hear you.
We used to do a mic check.
I can't hear you on that mic. Can you move round a mic?
In the old days, we used to do a mic check. Mm-hmm. Do you remember?
Hello.
That's better.
In the old days,
yeah,
we used to do a mic check. Do you remember those good old days?
I've seen what the problem is.
What?
You can go back to your black one now.
Oh, I quite like the purple now.
Go back to the black.
I'm not pandering to you.
Oh, you're not.
You know, I like the purple one. I have a feel for it now.
Right, good. That's sorted out.
Morning.
Then. Hello. Afternoon.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it depends on what part of the world you're in, I guess. You've been so globetrottery recently that it could be anything anywhere, couldn't it?
Tell you what, the old jet lag, it does. My new husband and I were waking up. When we got home, we were waking up.
Do we need to know about this?
Maybe. Clean sheets yesterday, so it was a good day.
Oh, no, it was that time of year again.
We were waking up at 3 o'clock, sitting bolt upright with lots of energy. It was all wrong. All wrong. Kind of, and then you realise what time it is where you've been, and it all makes sense, doesn't it?
Quite possibly.
Anyway, I highly advise Lombok.
What?
Lombok.
You've been to Lombok?
Yeah, I highly advise going quickly before it gets taken over, because.
And where exactly for us non, global travellers is Lombok exactly?
Lombok is in Indonesia. It's about a 2.5 hour flight from Singapore, where we were actually working.
I like Singapore.
We were actually working.
Canary Wharf in the tropics.
Do you know? I know what you're thinking, yeah. Do you know I actually went through the airport of Singapore chewing gum?
That's a death penalty.
Without thinking, because my ears were blocked.
Death penalty.
I know.
Seriously, you're looking at me shocked.
No, it's absolutely.
It's serious. Chewing gum is illegal in Singapore.
It is actually
Singapore.
Illegal. Yeah. So I ran into the loo when my new husband pointed it out. And
spat.
Without, you know, making sure nobody's watching.
Yeah.
So Lombok is next to Bali. It's right. A very unspoilt island. I looked at Bali, decided I was too old to go to Bali.
I'm not surprised.
A lot of sort of wedding-y stuff going on. So Lombok was where we went. My new husband was snorkeling merrily. And
it was what?
Snorkeling.
Oh, snorkeling, yeah.
That's not a euphemism for anything.
Is he not? Yeah.
No, not
yeah.
at all.
Yeah,
okay. So there he was. He went off all bravely and he came back a bit white in the face. And he said, I've just seen a couple of sea snakes, Jules.
Oh, they're horrible.
That's how he speaks.
Yeah.
And
it isn't at all, really.
We were talking to Owly, who was one of our lovely waiters, and he was sort of the cabana boy, as Nurse Liz would call him. And he said, oh, where has your husband been snorkeling? And I said, oh, that little island over there. He said, oh, we call that Snake Island.
That'll be the giveaway, won't it?
You have just 1 hour if you're bitten. And it was a 2 hour swim. So
did you bite him?
I made him go back frequently. No, the snake biting, not me.
Oh, I thought it was you. Because you're quite toxic as well sometimes, aren't you?
I can be.
Yeah.
I can be. And then also, of course, when I did get back, Farmer Charles Tassel, who's actually listening and hello, Charles, watching Periscope, invited me to the Kent Life Food Awards.
Yeah, I saw that.
Table one, darling.
I saw you tweeting away about that.
Table one.
Yeah.
It made my day because not only was I with a very charming farmer in breeches, and little thigh boots and all that, you know, and quite tight breeches, a little open neck shirt was very pleasant. And but then next to me were three men in kilts.
As they would be.
Real life Scottish men.
Did they have anything on underneath them?
What's a girl to do?
I'd look. So you checked, obviously.
Well, you know, waved the sporran about.
Yeah.
So that was a really, really good evening. Yeah, lots good. Of
fun. You had lots of fun.
Yeah, and I went.
And how did you get home? Because you did tweet me about 3 a.m. saying, could I come and pick you up?
Yeah, you refused. Yeah. So my lovely son, Shay Serkin, got me.
Oh, and congratulations on the job.
Yeah,
Shay.
He's going to be working for a company called Softcat.
Oh, okay.
Google them. They're in London. And they came up as one of, nothing to do with you, Adrian, no cats involved, one of the best companies to work for.
Cool.
So he said there were kids going along on tricycles in the corridor. grown up.
Okay, yeah, it's one of those kind of companies. Yeah, yeah.
Techie. So well done, Shay. Yeah.
Yeah, no, nice one. My youngest has got himself a job as well.
The Stew. Now, is he doing the boaty yachty?
No, no, he's working as a foreign exchange trader for a fintech company called Ebury. Yeah.
Well, my new husband wants to talk to him then.
Exactly.
About fintech.
Yeah.
I've only just learned what fintech actually
means. He's already sold me some Ugandan shillings. I don't know how he managed that. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. But
Well, if you go to Lombok, you take wads of money, wads. Cool. And weddings.
Yeah, we had a bit of a wedding
as well. You had a good time.
We had a really good time, thank you. It was
fabulous.
And for
once, you didn't make the speech?
No, they wouldn't let me talk. Well, yeah. Stu was the best man, my youngest. And Jamie made a speech in 5 languages.
Did he?
Including Arabic.
Really?
Yeah.
And the Kalamari.
Yeah, he's Ali, all Arab.
How about Kalamari?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, he did all that.
Wallalazin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yadim Wasiva.
Yeah, and that, with spots on. Yeah.
Mabruk, Jamie and Sophia.
Yeah.
Mabruk.
Yeah. He did all that. That was good.
Is Sophia's mum Moroccan?
No, no. Sophia's grandma lives in Marrakesh.
I'm just trying to think where the Arabic's coming in.
Yeah, no. Sophia's grandma lives in Marrakesh.
Uh-huh. Although my accent is not actually Moroccan, it's Egyptian.
I know. I realise that.
You
as soon as you started speaking,
the
think,
amount of
that's
spray.
I thought that's not kosher. That is, but I thought no, that is definitely got an Egyptian twang in there.
Yeah, it's the amount of spray that goes on the microphone.
Exactly. Yeah,
that gives
yeah.
it away.
Yeah.
Because exactly. if it was golf, it would be much more guttural.
Exactly. Well, of course, and we were all saying that, weren't we? We were. Yeah. Yeah.
And just to interrupt yet again, later on we will be
something like you.
We will be tasting some. Lovely. These were given to me at the Kent
Zingberry.
Food Awards. Yeah, Zingberry, the captain's crackers.
You see?
Not every. Yeah. And also, of course, the fabulous Love Chilies from Steve Wood and at Kent Fine Foods, the lovely Adrian. What is he? Matthew Kearsey Lawson.
Kearsey Lawson, yeah.
Too many men in my life.
Yeah, I know.
He is award winning.
It's the kilts that have done it. Yeah.
The kilts, but too many award-winning men in my life. But this is nice, and we will be tasting it. And no doubt, Jen and Adrian will give you their verdict. No doubt, you're on a diet, are you?
No, I've abandoned
you're
that.
You're off that.
I'm just getting fat now.
I thought you looked very good this morning.
Thank you. You haven't seen me for a long time, though. I've been up and down twice since you've been away, haven't I? Yeah. Anyway, I want to say a big thank you to this week's show sponsor, who are the lovely folks over there on the Medway City Estate, Telcare. The telecoms and telephone systems providers based on Medway City Estates.
We love them.
Huge thank you to them. That's telcare.co.uk. Do check them out. And
if you have a rodent nibbling your wires,
exactly,
they'll sort it for you.
And Lisa Settle, who's the director of Telcare, has given me a little message to read out about something that she's up to in your previous neck of the woods.
Yes.
And this is a message from Lisa of Telcare to Business Bunker listeners. She says, as you probably know by now, I've taken on the mad challenge of cycling 450 kilometres from Vietnam to Cambodia in order to raise funds for women versus cancer. The funds raised support 3 fantastic charities, Breast Cancer Care, Joe's Cervical Cancer Trust and Ovarian Cancer Action. I would like to take this opportunity to say a huge thank you to everyone for their tremendous support. Not only in sponsorship, but the advice and tips given to me to make my life easier when cycling and the lovely words of encouragement on the days when I have thought, I don't think I can do this.
Mm.
When the going gets tough, and I know there will be moments, I will think of all of the fabulous people back home who are rooting for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll be joining 2 friends, Sally and Liz, on this amazing adventure to Asia. Excuse me. We set off next Monday, the 7th of November, for a few days sightseeing, rest and relaxation in Hong Kong, before flying down to Vietnam to join the rest of the team. If you wish to track the journey, if you go to facebook.com/FromNamToCam, from Nam number 2 Cam 2016, you will be able to track the 450-mile-kilometre journey that they're doing. There's still an opportunity to sponsor Lisa if you haven't already, and you can do that by going to justgiving.com/LisaMarieSettle, S-E-T-T-L-E. So justgiving.com/LisaMarieSettle1, and do give some sponsorship for this epic effort by Lisa Liz and Sally.
Yeah, because it's not just the journey, is it, Paul Andrews? It's also that all the preparation that she's been doing to get fit enough.
Hadn't ridden a bike before.
Well, get those gluteal muscles. Yeah. She's got to toughen those gluteal muscles up, hasn't she, to sit on a derriere.
I've got Bird on a bike next to me.
Well, she'll know all about it.
Yeah.
Yes. Should we read things? I've forgotten what I do. It's been
You've
so
forgotten
long.
What you do, don't you?
Yeah, do you know, the next time I'm on the show, I worked it out. February.
I know. Well, I'm going to read an email. Sorry, I'm going to read a tweet, and then you can read an email. And I've got a tweet from my fabulous, fabulous lady here, Kim Stevens of Caring Kent. And she says, Vanilla Webb, I really, really love a shout-out on the Business Bunker show because I love, in capital letters, with a heart, I love Business Bunker even more than I love Marmite.
And does she love Marmite?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You never,
and what about Marmite Gate?
I know. That
I
was
mean,
fun,
that's
wasn't
all
it?
Happening, wasn't it?
Yeah. So big thank you to Kim Stevens of Caring Kent. Do give her a follow on the Twitter. And I've got one more tweet that I want to read, and this is Gleaning Kent.
Oh, yes.
Gleaning Kent. And
food
for those
waste.
Of you that don't know, gleaning is what, when I was a kid, was called scrumping.
Yeah. Food waste.
It's when you go into an orchard and you nick the apples off the tree.
Yeah, I bet you still do that.
I still do that. That's how I get fed most of the time.
Yeah.
But Gleaning Kent, what they're doing is they're doing it with the farmer's permission. And what they're doing is they're collecting fruit that the farmers don't want. Yeah, so it's...
Stuff that's not pretty.
It's not pretty.
Ugly
or
fruit.
It's top of the tree or whatever. Mm. So they are collecting it. And they say, could you give us a shout out to all our Gleaning Network volunteers? We'll be in the fields picking apples to fight food poverty. So please give us a shout on the Business Bunker. So more than happy to do that. Give them a follow on the Twitter, Gleaning Kent. And if you fancy volunteering for a bit of fruit picking, get in touch with them because I'm sure they'd like some help.
Well, you could go up there after the show, couldn't you?
I'm an ace scrumper, I am.
Yeah, I know.
When
you
I was
are.
A kid, I could scrump
well,
anything, me.
When we were at the old studio, we were on a farm, Adrian.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jen.
I used to do a bit
and
of scrumping there as well.
He used to go off after the show because he was on one of his diets and scrump up a couple of carrots and a cabbage out of the farmer's.
No, never
thing.
A cabbage. I got some runner beans. I got some runner beans, some carrots, and a load of blackberries and raspberries.
I'm sure I saw you with a cabbage once that
Possibly.
You'd scrumped.
Possibly.
He used to do that.
Beetroot.
Yeah. Beetroot to you, too.
Read an email.
Actually, beetroot is very good for you, especially grated raw. Okay, so make standout social media video with a smartphone or a DSLR. Learn industry techniques with a commercial TV producer to create video for websites and social media. Now, this is a one-day workshop in Canterbury at the Spitfire Ground, the famous cricket ground. It's on Thursday, the 25th of November. And this is, of course, with smartphone film. Now, there's a sort of a long website here, which is an Eventbrite. But if you go on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, you can click on there and find out all about it. So that's a good one. Vote for Kenwood Trust to receive an Aviva Community Fund Award. We're delighted with Arthur J. Gallagher, insurance broker in Kings Hill. And they recommended Kenwood. So it's like Ken Award.
You've
it's
forgotten
Kenwood.
How to do this, haven't
no,
you?
It's Kenwood. Well, I could do it.
You've forgotten how to
I
do
could
this.
Do it in Indonesian.
She's been swanning around so much that she's forgotten how to co-present the show.
I could do it in Indonesian. No
oh,
trouble.
Go for it.
Or
yeah.
Arabic.
What could
Kenwood. No, I thought there was a. I was getting excited because I thought there was a play on words like Ken Award. I was getting.
Kenwood.
I was.
Kenwood win an award.
I was, you know, jumping ahead of myself.
Oh,
I was thinking
dear.
It was something, you know, clever little play on words, but it wasn't. Anyway, Kenwood Trust. For an award from the Aviva Community Fund. A team of their staff recently volunteered a day on site at Yalding and painted the hallway in the house. And the Aviva Community Fund is a voting competition open to the general public until Friday the 18th of November. So not long yet left, Bunker Listener. The projects have received the most votes in each category. They'll go through to the final where a judging panel will award the awards. They've applied for a grant of £25,000 to build a new restoration barn at Yalding for residents to fix and restore furniture to sell as part of the social enterprise programme. Every person gets 10 votes, which can all be used on one project. So it's simple to vote. They say go to community-fund.aviva.co.uk voting/user login. Of course, my lovely tea boy over there, Paul Anders, will have also diligently put it up on Kent Business Radio.
It will indeed go up onto our website.
You can click on there.
Thank you for that. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
We're going to have a bit of tunage.
All right, what you got?
I've got a tune specially for you because I've missed you so
have
much.
Have you, darling? Yeah. Is it My Old Man's a Dustman?
No, it's not. It could have been quite easily, but it is in fact this.
I can feel a bit of disco coming on. Is it the Gibson Brothers?
It is indeed the Gibson Brothers.
I didn't go to Cuba.
Did you not?
They are a frontier emerging market, though.
Exactly.
Suppliers you can trust for your Kent business. Get a quote today at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 1st of November. Now, hopefully, I'm joined on the phone by the lovely Deborah Fielding. Hello, Deborah.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm really good too, thank you, Deborah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome you back onto the Business Bunker Show. You have been on the show before a few months ago, and we loved having you on, and we thought You are a very interesting person to talk to, and we thought it'd be rather nice to talk to you again.
Oh, well, that's really great to know.
So, for those listeners that don't recall or, you know, failed to listen to the last show, shame on them. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about you and what it is you actually do?
Okay. So, I operate a business called Myris Media, which supplies celebrities and keynote inspirational speakers to corporate events. One of my big passions is driving inspiration out into the world, and I do that by supplying and working with these great international speakers and the best that we've got in the UK. And that's enabled me to meet some astonishing people and learn lots of great things. I also put on events for some of my speakers, particularly if they've got an inspirational message to put out there. So I do events. I had Michael Gerber over from the States last year, this time last year, in fact,
right.
Who wrote the E-Myth. So that was, I was going through the grueling task of sorting that out, because it's not very easy all the time putting events on, you know, highs and lows and all the rest of it. And I also work with people that are wanting to be speakers,
right.
Or are speakers that are not or could be doing better or are not doing as well as they wanted to.
Okay, can I just interject there? Sorry.
Yeah, do so.
Because I've got to ask a question, because one or two people have asked me about this when they knew that you were coming on the show. If I'm right, it's not particularly public speaking that you're helping them with. It's how to create a business out of it. Is that right?
Absolutely that, yeah. I mean, I always make a joke. I do the odd talk here and there, but actually I'm much better off on the other side of the desk, booking the speakers to do the events. And I don't proclaim or profess or wish to teach people how to speak. There's so many great courses out there for that. And I work with actually a couple of my brilliant speakers that do teach public speaking. And so if there's a need for my clients to learn a bit more about that, or they want to progress a bit, I always pass them through to my speakers that do these events. But I'm teaching people how to build a speaker business, which means, well, it started because I've been doing my business for 22 years, and over the years...
Congratulations.
So many... Oh, yeah, it's been a marathon, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Is that you, Joe?
Jules, no, Jules.
Jules, oh, hi.
Hi. Yeah. Carry on.
Yeah, sorry. And so...
She does that. She interrupts you and then she throws you off.
Yeah, no,
she does.
I got very excited. 22 years is not to be sniffed at.
Yeah.
It's not.
Good on you. Good on you.
Well, I've been self-employed since the day I left school. I can tell you that's a long time looking back down that road now. but anyway, so... I teach people how to pull together the engagements, and people have, over the 22 years I've had this particular business, thrown business cards at me, DVDs, books, you name it. I've been dragged back into rooms to have conversations with people in a really crude fashion, and I was very disparaging. I've been shocking in my head, really, with them. And I just suddenly thought, well, what if I turn this whole thing on my head? On its head, should I say, and teach people how to present themselves to either agents or people that are booking people for events. And then as I got to look at more details that came through that were so badly presented and their organisation was all over the place, it just became really apparent that actually lots of people can speak and speak really well. They just don't know how to organise and build a business that's going to work much better for them and more efficiently. So I worked with somebody a couple of weeks ago, he'd called me back. We did some work 3 months ago. He'd called me back to say that he'd just come back from South America and tripled his speaking fee off the work that we'd done together.
Wow.
And, you know, that was a great thing to hear. It's not rocket science, or it doesn't feel like it for me, because, of course, when you're doing something day in, day out, it just becomes part of your life, doesn't it?
It does. And I think I really love what you do. As you probably recall, Deborah, I used to actually work as a public speaker myself.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, on the motivational circuit many years ago. And I worked doing that for many years, and I had a speaking business. And so many people come to me who are really good at speaking, and they say, you know, I get loads of people that like my Facebook Live videos, or they like hearing me talk and all the rest of it. I'm going to quit my job and start doing this professionally. and you go, hold on a minute. It's not the same to build a business as it is just to gob off in public. A lot of us are really good at gobbing off in public, but you need a business strategy here.
Yeah, you do, and I think people just look at it as something that's sat at the side. You need to approach it as a separate business and deal with it in a professional way. I get, you know, I'm actually in central London at the moment. I'm just about to start a four-hour workshop with one of my private clients who speaks but doesn't get as much work as he could do, and it's as obvious as anything to me why he's not getting the work. And we'll have all that licked into shape this afternoon. But he's been speaking for a long time and he's got a great talk, you know. So it doesn't. And then there are people starting out that have got no idea what to do at all. They've got a nice idea for a talk. They're still progressing with that, but they've got not a clue how to pull the whole lot together. And lots of people think they've got to dash out and get an agent and that looks all brilliant, but actually it's not. You know, I would advise anybody that's speaking to do at least 6 to 12 months out there on your own to learn the ropes and understand what your clients really want and how to organise yourself better. So it's not all that. Just, you know, I run a big speaker bureau, but it doesn't mean that you need to have me on your team. I think you're going to cut your teeth better and learn more by going ahead and doing it yourself for a few months, and then you can consider where you're at after that period.
Sure. Okay. That's really good. Now, I understand, I think, that you've got a workshop happening in Kent fairly soon.
Yeah, I have. Well, I was kindly invited to speak in Kent in September, and so I'm going back to the Crescent Turner, which is a lovely venue, and doing a workshop. It's a four-hour workshop morning on the 10th of November, and teaching people to do exactly this. You know, it's really exciting when I look around the room, and when I first started doing it, there were people just staring at me, and I thought, oh, I've got this so badly wrong. And then everybody said, oh my goodness, that's like gold dust, you know. So I said, oh, okay. So when you see the light bulb go on, it's just an amazing experience. And then I get people phoning me up telling me how things have improved, and we march on from there. So the 10th of November is about covering all of that, making sure that people have got the foundations down, that they know what they're doing properly, that they've got everything running organized, that they're presenting themselves really well, that they know how to phone people up and not just be really crude in their approach that puts people off. You know, sure. Some of the people that approach me, I'd be glad if I never spoke to them again, but I suddenly realized actually they don't know how to do it. So
give us a clue on that, Deborah. What is the crude approach?
Well, you know, to actually just rock up to somebody that's booking speakers and to say, oh, you need to speak to me, I've got a great talk. It's an immediate turn off. Nobody wants to hear that kind of approach. In fact, I was talking to somebody at the event that I went to in Kent in Whitstable last time in September, and she actually said she was just going to send her details through to me. But actually, she chose to wait until this event because she knew I was going to be there. And I said, now, can you see how much smarter that's been for you? Because we've got an interaction going on here and I like you immensely. Whereas if you'd sent your details through to me, I'd have been thinking, who's this? You've wasted all your material and your time all for the sake of a few weeks when you knew I was going to be at this event and we've connected really nicely. So it's just using your brains and working out what a booker needs, you know, and what their audience is. So you might be able to send them something really fantastic through that really highlights how great you are and how much thought you've put into it, rather than just flinging your usual details at them, which is only going to be, it's like a scattergun approach. It just doesn't work. So it's about understanding who your audience and your speakers are, and your bookers, and approaching them in a smart way rather than just saying, here's my card, here's my book. They get that every day. You know, I must get stuff through in the post. Over the 22 years, I dread to think how much stuff I've just chucked straight in the bin, because it's actually not even been relevant to me and what I do. So they've not even looked at what my business is. And people just don't know to do that. So rather than me having this diatribe going on in my head about all this stuff I get, you know, I decided to think, hold on a minute, there's a bit of a pattern occurring. What can I do to help people?
That's fantastic.
And so that's where this course came from.
That's fantastic. And it sounds like a really brilliant thing. We could talk about this forever because it's a really important thing.
Yeah, I get really excited about it.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised. It's a great thing. So I'll tell you what, Deborah, we're going to have to let you go. But just before we do that, give us a shout out for websites or any way that people can find out about more about you, but more specifically, how they can find out about this workshop that's happening at the Crescent Turner.
So it's on the 10th of November at the Crescent Turner in Whitstable. It's a lovely venue. You'll be well looked after up there. And the website is buildmyspeakerbusiness.com, and you'll get all the information you need on there. I don't think my speaker bureau is relevant at the moment, but that's myrismedia.co.uk. But if you look on buildmyspeakerbusiness.com, you'll find all the information you need for this particular course. And it would be fab to see some more Kent people booked on and doing fantastic in their speaking careers. That's really exciting to see that.
Fantastic. There's a link to that website on the Kent Business Radio website too, so you can find it from there. For the moment, Deborah, thank you so much for joining us again. It's been a pleasure, as always, to hear from you.
Nice to speak to you, Jules, very briefly. But
yeah, see you. I might pop over to the Crescent Turner if I'm around in Whitstable, because I live there, so I might live in Whitstable, not the Crescent Turner.
Yeah, nice. Well, actually, that's a moot point, but yeah. Deborah, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we look forward to seeing you on the 10th of November back here in Kent.
Thanks a million. You're a superstar, Paul. Thank you.
All right. You take care. Bye now.
You too. Bye.
Bye. That's Deborah Fielding there. Very interesting, isn't she?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it.
It's one of those things, and we've talked a lot about this to lots of people. Nowadays, with social media and selfies and Facebook Live and Periscope and all those kind of things, there's more and more people doing things to camera, doing things to mic, with some interesting stories. It's not, you know, beat about a bush. But there's a whole difference between having something interesting to say and having something interesting to sell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And selling public speaking is one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to pay.
There's so many people. I mean, my new husband, as you know, speaks everywhere, but there's still a lot that want him to do it for free. Generally, he's paid big bucks, which is great, and flights and things and hotels, but there's still an awful lot of people that do it for free. Therefore, it almost gets diluted because so many people will do it for free. Therefore,
and that's the whole point.
It gets tough.
That's the whole point about finding out how to do it as a business, because sometimes, you know, free is a business model. It depends on what you're trying to do. You know, you know that I do loads of free speeches these days, and I'm happy to do that.
Yeah.
But I do that because it builds a brand in other ways.
Yeah. Exactly.
But if you're going to do it specifically to earn a living, you have to charge. And in order to charge, someone's got to pay. Mm. And in order to pay, they've got to put bums on seats. And in order to put bums on seats, you've got to have a specific thing that you're doing. But go along to Deborah's workshop. That's the thing to do.
10th of November?
10th of November. At Whitstable at the Crescent Turner.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we're going to talk to Adrian in a minute, but you can do a couple of tweets because you haven't done a tweet yet.
Oh, right. Okay. So thank you for the preparation and giving me advance warning of tweeting. Okay.
We've had
the lovely Anthony Jones. I always love a challenge, Paul Andrews. He's a photographer. He's AJ Photo Info, and he has sent us a picture of a lovely jar of something gorgeous. I think it was marmalade or something. And that's one of his Sheppy clients, I believe. Plus, of course, he sent us some lovely pictures. And we've had, of course, Lisa Marie Settle, who's listening in. Someone called Bent Rayfield.
Benter.
They are car hire, car rental specialists. So hello to you. UK and worldwide. That's not to do with the young guy, the gorgeous guy that was on from Sheppy a while back.
No, completely different. But Ben, we've got something to read out about Benter later on because she's doing an art project as well. And we've got an email somewhere in this list of what Benter's...
Somebody very interesting, Nikolai Volkov. Now, he sounds like someone to know, doesn't he? Now, where's he? St. Petersburg, Russia. I think he's one of mine.
Do you think he might be a meerkat or something?
I think so, maybe. But he sounds very, like count.
Was he asking you to compare?
No, probably. Go compare. Isn't that the wrong ad?
No.
So, hello, Nikolai. And obviously, Jen Taylor has popped up. Audrey Chapman. Do you know Audrey Chapman?
I do.
Inspirational sales coaching from shop floor to MD speaker. So perhaps she's come in from Deborah's posse.
I've had a tweet from HR Services and Support, the lovely Fiona Stevens. Fiona Stevens HR on the Twitter. Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin, Business Bunker. Hello, how about a shout out, please? I'm actually at Kent B2B networking at Folkestone today. And I'm going to listen on playback.
I hope that's her saying it, otherwise you'd be in two places.
I wouldn't be here.
That would worry me.
Yeah, so that's Fiona saying that. She is at the B2B, and she's been very prolific on Twitter at the B2B. But she's going to listen back live. So there's your shout-out, Fiona, as always. Happy to do that.
Andrew Knott, a.k.a. Knott, who is FSB in Kent, he has told us that the slope-off Friday for November the 4th is Friday with Mr. Harry Cover is now full up. And the next one, if you want to get on the list, is Faversham Hotel. That's at Faversham Hotel, December, I think it's the 16th. I get in on the 14th from Cape Town straight to Faversham Hotel.
As you would.
Jet lag and all that. But as you would. Fine. So get down for the Faversham Hotel, because that will be our Christmas one.
Straight off the Table Mountain into Faversham.
Wine tasting, of course, in South Africa.
Stellenbosch.
Is it a good place for diamonds and gold? I was asking my new husband. He seemed to not know anything about it.
Diamonds and gold?
Yeah, South Africa.
Not in the Cape. No.
Mining.
Not in the Cape.
I've got to go further, have I?
You need over towards Botswana.
Okay, will I see the odd elephant?
You see elephants, yeah.
Yeah? Little monkeys, things?
Possibly.
I did see a monkey
on
Lombok.
Well, it depends where you go.
Well.
Really? Downtown Cape Town, not so much.
High Street.
Yeah.
I need to phone Hilda Marie, don't I?
Yes,
you do. Yeah, I expect she's still in the bush.
Exactly. You're going wine tasting. You're going to Stellenbosch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice,
yeah.
Stellenbosch.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know what it is, really. Have you been?
Stellenbosch, yeah.
Yeah, have you?
I've been to South Africa.
You're quite a dark horse, because you don't actually go anywhere anymore, apart from, you know, the opening of an envelope.
Yeah.
But you used to travel a lot, and you've lived everywhere, haven't you? You've lived in America.
I've travelled a lot. I actually went to Southern Africa. I went on a tour of South Africa, Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe, watching my eldest play hockey.
Was that in the days when there was like a steamship you had to go there by paddle or something? Must have been, you know.
In shorts and a pith helmet.
Yeah. With a little spear.
Yeah.
A loincloth.
Yeah. And the Zulus were a bit restless, that kind of thing. I was at Rorke's Drift. Is that what you're trying to
say?
Well,
I'm
thinking. 1897.
Yeah, it was about the time of the wooden tops, wasn't it?
Yeah.
About time of the wooden tops?
Yeah. No, yeah. I wasn't on duty at Rorke's Drift, no. But I have been to Southern Africa and Cape Town's lovely.
Oh, I look forward to coming around looking at your snaps.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. I've had a tweet from Vicky Beattie Associates, Safewell Green on the Twitter, and they say, please, Paul, could we have a shout-out? We've got future first aiders teaching a first aid to children, and you can find out about it by looking at their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/future first aid. So they're teaching first aid to kids.
That sounds like a really good idea, because as you know, Adrian will tell you later when he's on.
We're going to talk to Adrian right now.
You wait an hour for an ambulance.
Yeah.
So you need first aid. There is a little bit of a kerfuffle on Twitter.
Yeah.
An emergency. If anybody's near Lisa Marie Settle, she has lost her ginger nut. She was dunking it. It's broken off.
In her tea?
Bottom of her tea. I hate that.
Oh, you
that
don't
happens.
Like that.
She's fishing around for, you know, teaspoon sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't want that, Lisa.
Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to talk to Adrian.
Let's do that.
Yeah. It's that time again. When we talk to Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services. Adrian comes on at least once a year, and normally at this time of the year, to give us some valuable information about looking after our pets. Adrian, welcome back onto the Business Sunk Show.
Thank you very much.
Great to see you again, and I know you've had a long day. You started off at 4 a.m. this morning, didn't
yes.
you?
Yeah, unfortunately.
You've actually drive over. Did you take a putty cat to have its hips done?
Yes, down to Fitzpatrick's down in Surrey.
Right.
Couldn't it have done Pilates to avoid that? Little hips.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, she's terrible, isn't she?
Yes.
So you've had a busy day so far, but thankfully you've been able to join us, which is always great. Why don't you tell the listeners what it is you actually do, first of all, and then we'll go on to some of the subjects we want to cover.
Okay, but basically what I do is I transport people's pets to the vets, catteries, kennels, that type of thing, really.
Mm. Okay, so it's kind of like pet ambulance, pet taxi service and stuff like that. And I know it's something you're very passionate about and you get involved in transporting all kinds of things.
Yep.
And you were telling me before we came on air, and this is going to mortify Jules, we've kept it from her, but apparently Samson's not very well.
Oh, no.
No, he's got a vitamin deficiency, and that's where they start pulling out their feathers.
Yeah, which is not good for a dog. No, sorry.
It is a parrot.
It's a parrot, yeah. No, it's Samson's a parrot.
But can you give him some vitamins? Is that a vitamin D thing?
Yes, it's a combination of medication and putting stuff in his water. Yeah. And changing his diet.
That might be what's wrong with you, Paul.
I was going to say, that's what they do to me as well, put stuff in my water. Yeah.
I think that could be a little trick for you.
Because I pull my feathers out all the time.
Yeah.
I get my little beak over there and out they come.
Well, you do often look a bit crestfallen.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, Adrian.
Sorry about this, Adrian. Right. Let's get back to talking sense.
So Samson is on the mend.
Yes, hopefully, yes, yeah.
Okay, and he I've seen pictures of him. He waddles about. You let him out of the cage and he gets exercise. But do they need sort of sunshine as well? Would that be
daylight? Daylight is important, because obviously if they're stuck in a cage all the time, it's not a good thing. So he sort of comes out and flies about the room.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? In Canterbury, for instance, there's a massive flock of parakeets in the wild where, you know, presumably they've got out as a pet, and they've just bred. And there's masses of parakeets. Masses of them. I mean, literally hundreds. Yeah.
Is that what we had at your house that time in Pye?
No. That was pigeon.
Was that one that used to tap at your door and come in?
No, that was a pheasant.
Yeah, that was a pheasant.
He was a self-cooking pheasant. He used to bang on my kitchen door.
And say, where's your slow cooker?
Yeah, take me. I'm yours, he'd say. Yeah, that happens to me all the time, that does.
Adrian, have you found with more and more people working that you're getting more calls, you know, people are out all day? Are you doing things like dog walking or anything?
No,
or don't you do that?
I don't do that at all. I look after, you know, say, like people that need to get to vets, catteries and kennels. There are other people that do, you know, pet walking and stuff, and it's very important that you stick with what you're good at, because if you try and do everything, then, you know, you end up coming unstuck. You can't help people.
You've had a few incidents where the police have called you, I think I'm right here, where there's been an injured animal and nobody will touch it.
No.
Tell us about that.
A couple of times I've had incidents where there's been a road accident, vehicles turned over, the fire brigade have had to come along and obviously cut the roof off, and then I sort of move in and then take the animal away and then take it to a vet's to make sure everything's okay.
And are you wearing protective clothing to do that?
I've got gowns and stuff and rubber gloves.
Me too.
And rubber gloves and stuff like
that. Oh, me too.
Nothing.
Because a dog major. In an accident, for example, could be pretty frightened and snarly.
It's again, it's how you handle and how you talk to the animal. A lot of people laugh to say, "Oh, why are you talking to the animal?" But they do understand, and if you can calm them, it helps the situation.
And they get their your pheromones, don't they? It's a big word, isn't it, Paul Andrews? Pheromones.
Sniffing.
Do you know what that means?
Sniffing.
They do.
They can.
I've left my lovely Cassie, who sends her love. She's listening, but I actually left her on today with very loud classical music because she hates it when I go. She hates Business Bunker Day because it's quite a long day for her. So, but she's listening to a bit of some aria.
Got headphones on. Yeah. On the chaise lounge.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a number of things we want to talk to you about, Adrian. So let's kick off with talking about some of those things. Where should we start? What's happening at this time of year as far as pets are concerned?
Well, the main problems are autumn issues or hazards, combination of things, conkers on the ground, acorns are both very poisonous.
Are they poisonous to all domestic animals or just dogs?
Mainly dogs, because it's dogs that would be scavenging and picking them up. I had a case yesterday where a dog had actually swallowed the whole conker, and the actual spiky bit of the skin was actually stuck in the dog's throat.
Right.
And obviously they had to operate very quickly to remove it.
Right, okay.
But the thing about conkers and obviously acorns is that are poisonous, so between 1 and 6 hours you could get symptoms of a dog having diarrhea, being sick, not feeling very well, drinking a lot of water. So it's very important, if you do see those signs, that you get veterinary advice very quickly.
Is it something that dogs eat accidentally Or will they try and eat it and then realise that...
Sometimes it's accidentally, they're sniffing around, it's got a nice smell on it, and they decide to pick it up. Yeah. And obviously the other issue is on the dog's paws.
Yeah.
You know, those spikes on conkers obviously can, cause injury on the paws, and obviously very important to, to keep an eye on your dog.
All right, okay.
Don't want them poorly.
No, absolutely.
No.
And some dogs will just eat anything, won't they?
Yes, they will.
Pick up stuff on the beach.
They will pick up, so it's being vigilant and making sure that, you keep an eye on things. The other major thing is cats at the moment. Mm. We're going through, obviously, cold mornings. A lot of cats will go under people's, wheel arches of the car.
Right,
okay. Yeah.
Getting the warmth from the engine. So it's very important, obviously, to check those sort of areas before you drive off.
And there's been a number of stories as well about cats that have actually got in the engine bay of cars.
Yes.
And ended up in Carlisle.
Yeah, and been driven all over the place and survived, amazingly, even though they're on a hot engine.
They're, obviously important factors, and same with wildlife, especially with bonfire night coming up. If you've built a fire, an organised event or even, at home to check that, hedgehogs haven't gone into the area that you've built the fire, because obviously, again...
It's funny you should say that. My eldest son that runs Fruitworks, we got a heap in the back of Fruitworks. We got a whole heap of rubbish where we'd refurbished the building. And yesterday he was moving it all to a skip, and he moved the first bit, and we found a nest of mice. Which he then moved one at a time. I was just forget it. Just
one at a time, bless him.
No, he picked them all up and he took them all out and he put them all back in a nice little place outside. So
Around your house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And hedgehogs, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, they love a bonfire.
Did you see that hedgehog the other day?
Without prickles.
Without prickles, yeah.
Very sweet.
Yeah. A skinhead hedgehog.
That reminded me of you as well.
Did it, really? Yeah. I wonder why.
I meant to phone you.
Yeah. So as far as cats, and it is cats more than anything, creeping into the engine bays and on the wheel arches of cars to keep warm. I mean, obviously, you need to kind of keep an eye out for it, but, I mean, there's not a lot else you can do, really. There's nothing you could spray on your wheels or anything, catnip or something to get rid of them.
No, there isn't. It's just one of
those
hazards.
That's a really silly suggestion.
Yeah. Was it?
Because even if you did spray it on, it would disappear. Then first bit of frost you had, or a bit of we had that dew this afternoon.
I'm just trying to think outside the box.
Let's face it. You know nothing about this subject. You're completely out of your. You're not a really, if we're honest, you're not really a cat dog person.
I'm not a pet person at all, no.
I remember when you came round to mine, you were on the sofa, you quite liked Cassie because she wasn't too slobbery.
Yeah, she was
but
all right.
But really...
I couldn't eat a whole one.
No, you're not really. You're at complete... I love him because he's squirming, because he's completely out of his animal comfort zone.
I'm not a pet person. No. I've got loads of animals in my garden.
Well, you've got rats, haven't you? I found...
No. I've got loads of animals. Didn't you see the picture I put up of my fox?
Oh, yeah, I love your fox.
I've never seen that before. I got this fox into my garden and... I was looking out the kitchen window and he was eating blackberries straight off the brambles.
Lovely.
And it wasn't just one or two. He was going mad, eating loads and loads and loads.
Why don't you go out and pick them?
Well, I'd picked loads of them and he was following me around picking what was rest. And then the badger turned up and there was a big standoff. The pair of them just stood there looking at each other.
Who won?
No one really. They both just stood there looking at each other.
Shall we go back to Adrian?
Yeah, come on.
He's much more sensible. Yeah, I think all of his stories are made up, Adrian. Carry on.
Yeah, obviously we're coming to the fireworks sort of season, but unfortunately, as we all know, fireworks season is really extended.
About 3 months, isn't it?
Yeah, you're talking up to New Year these days.
Mm.
So a lot of animals, are frightened. There's a number of things that you can do. It's important that you don't react too much to your animal being stressed.
So are you saying don't reassure them?
Yeah, it's
almost.
In some respects, you're alerting them to the problem more if you
reassure them.
Get too involved with them. The best thing is to try and make a little den, where their favourite spot is in the house. Turning up.
That's my bed.
Yeah. turning up the music, turning up the TV.
close the curtains?
Yeah, closing the curtains.
In your experience, Adrian, the type of pets that are mostly freaked out by fireworks, is it mostly cats, mostly dogs?
It's pretty even, really, yeah. To be fair.
And just as a rule of thumb, just off the top of your head, I know you haven't added this up. I mean, is it something that is getting worse or better? You know, are pets getting more and more used to it because it happens so often and for so long? Or
I personally think it's getting worse, basically because the fireworks are getting louder,
yeah.
Getting, you know, bigger,
longer and longer.
Yeah, and the ridiculous time people start letting the fireworks off.
Yeah,
So. Things that are important through this fireworks season is taking your dog out early and obviously getting it back indoors before the fireworks start. Mm. There are a combination of products on the market from devices that you can plug into your electric socket that are like calming sprays. Sometimes that helps. It doesn't work.
See, you can buy sprays.
Yeah, but your little plug-in, you can't plug them into your wheel of your Mercedes, Paul no, Andrews.
No. But,
or your Porsche.
I might invent one.
Yeah. But he's trying to come up with, you know, ideas that will suit your animal. Not, it doesn't suit every animal.
Right.
But the good thing about a lot of the vets now, they have free nursing clinics,
yeah.
Where if you're concerned about your animal, especially this fireworks season, there's a number of products on the market. You can go in and discuss it. And obviously get the right product for your animal.
Right, okay.
And there are certain, I think, Adrian, you might agree with me, there are certain dogs that are more predisposed, such as, for example, the Border Collie, quite yeah. highly strung.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had different dogs, and definitely she was the worst, the Border Collie. Mm-hmm. And it got worse every year. So yeah. every year she would tremble more, pant, yeah. all the signs that the dog is in distress. And one time we left her and she actually chewed through the door to get out. Mm-hmm. So pretty, you know, extreme yeah. behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
And there was blood and stuff when yeah, we got yeah. back. So it's a tough time of year.
Yes. Well, it's unfortunately, it's because it's so extended now. It's yeah. not, you know, like a week. It's ended up being, as you say, 2 or 3 months.
Okay. So in general, Adrian, give us some tips for how to look after your pet. We realise there are products that you can do and sprays yeah, and all yeah. kinds of things. But just in general, what are some of the kind of things you can do to try and alleviate the stress from your pet?
Well, the biggest thing you can do is like build a den where it's its favourite place, and then put in blankets, mm-hmm. Towels over it, so it sort of insulates it
right.
and helps to cut the noise level down.
Okay.
Yeah. As Jules said, making sure the curtains are well closed so they can't see any flashing lights, that type of thing. Turning, you know, the TV up, the radio, those type of things.
Okay. All right.
Maybe a bit of Rolf Harris, that sort of veterinary show he used to have on. That was good, wasn't it?
Animal Hospital.
Yeah, yeah. Remember that?
But one of the products. That's...
He's gone a bit quiet now, though, hasn't
have
he?
Have I? Yeah.
One of the products that's very good that you can get is a CD with all the different noises, you know, from washing machines to hoovers, you know, fireworks, those type of things that you can play through the year so the animal gets used to those
you
noises.
You get it attuned to those kind of noises.
So, you know, that's a good product to look at.
Okay.
And actually, someone that does that CD for free is the Dogs Trust.
Right, okay.
You can actually download that.
Okay, cool. All right. So some really practical advice for people with pets, especially pets that are nervous. Mm-hmm. To my mind, I think cats are the worst because they're really difficult to keep hold of.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, when they're frightened, they tear off and tend to, you know, straight yeah. out the cat flap and they've gone. And then, you know,
God,
whereas a dog...
You're just like David Attenborough, or is it Richard? One of the Attenboroughs.
Yeah,
you're
all
just
of
like
them.
Him this morning, aren't you,
yeah,
suddenly?
Yeah.
But you can't tell a cat. You
no,
can't...
exactly. Whereas a dog, if you've got the dog inside, the dog's trapped inside and you can care for it. But a cat, you know, boom, they're off straight out of cat flap and run away.
Well, you just lock it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you've got to think about it beforehand,
yes.
you know.
Yeah.
And as you said, Adrian, quite rightly, one of the problems is now, years ago, firework night was, you know, a couple of nights a week, and mm-hmm. the fireworks started just after dark. But now they go off all day, all night, all kinds of silly times.
Going back to just forgetting fireworks for a night, though, your main job out of firework season is transporting pets to vets for people.
Yes, that's my main job, and obviously supporting and helping people, especially when it possibly is the last journey that their animal is going to be obviously put to sleep because it's too old or it's, you know, it's too seriously ill to do any more for it. And obviously the best thing for its quality of life is then obviously to put it to sleep. So yes, I'm dealing with bereavement as well as you know, a sick animal.
And what's your radius around Kent?
Well, I tend obviously I don't go to different places in Kent, plus I go to if the vets need me to go to referral centres like Fitzpatrick's, and
which is just outside Guildford, isn't it?
Yes, the other side of Guildford, and the Royal Veterinary College and the Animal Health Trust as well.
Cool. Okay, Adrian, as always, a pleasure to talk to you. Give us a shout for your web page and your Twitter handle and that kind of thing so people can find out more about what you do.
Okay, my Twitter handle is at AK Pet Service, and my website is www.akpetservice.co.uk.
Fantastic.
And there's just one other thing I'd like to say is that last year I'd done a pet service in Gillingham.
Yeah. And that was a church service.
Yeah, church service for people that have lost their animals and stuff like that. And we're going to be doing it again on the 19th of March next year at St. Augustine's Church in Gillingham. It's on the corner of Rock Avenue and the top of Chatham Hill.
Okay, and I believe you're being joined by the Bishop of Rochester in that.
Hopefully, wow. Yes.
Adrian, thank you so much. It's a pleasure always to see you and to hear from you and to see the passion with which you care for people and their pets. So thank you for that. Keep on keeping on. Do give Adrian a follow. akpetservice.co.uk is his website. AK Pet Service on the Twitter. Give him a follow. And if you've got pets, heed his advice. Look after them during this season.
We had 114 live viewers watching you, Adrian, on Periscope on Jules Serkin. So if you want to check that out, it's at Jules Serkin.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Chris Hyde, Chameleogenics.
Hello.
Yeah. And he says, Vanilla Web, Jules, Business Bunker, please can you give a shout out for, and this is a Twitter handle, The Italian Job 29, The Italian Job 29, and Miss Mini Penny.
Oh, love it.
And they are doing a great job driving a Mini to Italy from the UK, and they're raising cash for stuff. So the best thing to do is to follow The Italian Job 29, Miss Mini Penny, and Chameleogenics on the Twitter and follow the progress, see what they're doing. They're doing great stuff. There's some fabulous photographs of the minis and everything in on the journey too. So do check that out.
That sounds like fun.
And I've also had a tweet from Little Pep Juice.
Oh.
And she says, Vanilla Web, please, Paul, there's business packages for Juice on Wheels sponsorship. If you tweet Little Pep Juice, if interested, and I'll send full details.
Juice on Wheels.
Juice on Wheels sponsorship. So do check that out. She's given me a big thing all about it here, but it's far too much to read out from the tweet. So the easiest thing is to follow Sherry, and her Twitter handle is Little Pep Juice. Do give her a follow and find out more about Juice on Wheels and the potential to sponsor. Chris Hyde has also come back and said you can also donate and sponsor Miss Mini Penny, and I'm trying to find out how to do it. It's a Facebook page, facebook.com/theitalianjob.
Well, we can have a look at that, and we'll put it up on kentbusinessradio.co.uk
we will
after
indeed.
The show. And lovely Chris Pollard is listening in. Chris J. Pollard. I think he's got a little underscore there. So it's Chris J. underscore Pollard. He says, impressive presenting, darling. Do you agree, Vanilla Web? Of course he doesn't.
No, get out of it, Chris, you creep.
lunch is on me, Chris. Anthony Jones, again, sending us a lovely photo for Adrian Kearney there of some doggies and also a prickly conker.
A prickly conker. That's
conker,
what we needed.
Darling.
We've had a tweet from Michael Parks, Surveyors Limited, MPSL, on the Twitter, and they say, hello, Paul, we'd appreciate a shout-out on the Business Bunker show, please. That's Michael Parks, MPSL, on the Twitter. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Well, I'm going to
open.
You're not going to speak into the mic, are you?
I'm stretching to open my chili jam.
Are you?
I don't know what you're going to do.
I'm going to play some tunage.
Let some guests. Have you got anything that I might like now?
I have. It's some cheesy tunage in support of the fact that we're hopefully going to hear from Jo Dodds fairly soon.
She's not cheesy.
No, but this is.
What is it? I'll open these crackers. That sounds like Status Quo.
It is Status Quo.
They only know two chords.
Yeah.
I'm the Wanderer.
Exactly. You got it.